Part 1. Chapter 1. In a first-class train carriage, Mr. Justice Wargrave, a retired judge, was sitting comfortably. He smoked a cigar and read the Times newspaper. After finishing, he looked out the window. The train was moving through Somerset. He checked his watch. 2 more hours to go. He thought about Soldier Island. An American millionaire had once bought it and built a modern house there. But his third wife did not like sailing, so the island was put up for sale again. Many rumors followed. Maybe a famous actress bought it, or perhaps the Navy was using it for secret experiments. But the final news said it was now owned by a Mr. Owen. Wargrave took out a letter from his pocket. The handwriting was difficult to read, but it was clear that Lady Constance Culmington was inviting him to Soldier Island. He hadn't seen her for 8 years. She had always loved nature and travel. Meanwhile, in a third-class carriage, Vera Claythorne sat with her eyes closed. She was tired from her school term. She was traveling to Soldier Island to work as a temporary secretary. It was a lucky opportunity. Holiday jobs were usually with children, not office work. She remembered the letter from Una Nancy Owen, offering her the position. Vera was happy, but also nervous. A few years ago, a boy named Cyril had drowned while she was watching him. Though the court said it wasn't her fault, she still felt guilty. She tried not to think about Hugo, the boy's relative, or about that day at the sea. Sitting across from her was Philip Lombard. He found Vera attractive, but serious. He wasn't just a guest. He had been hired mysteriously for a job. A man named Isaac Morris had offered him 100 guineas to go to the island and be available for Mr. Owen. No details were given. Lombard was curious, and he needed the money. Elsewhere, Miss Emily Brent, a strict older woman, sat very straight in her seat. She had been invited to the island by someone claiming to be a former acquaintance from a guest house. She didn't fully remember the person's name, but she accepted the invitation. With her low income, a free holiday sounded perfect. General MacArthur was also traveling. He had received a letter saying that some old army friends would be on the island. He was looking forward to talking about the past, but there was a rumor that he had sent a man to die during the war to get rid of him. That man had been his wife's lover. Dr. Armstrong, a successful Harley Street doctor, was driving his car across the countryside. He had been invited to the island to look at a woman's health in secret. Her husband didn't want her to know. The doctor was tired, but glad to get away from London for a while. Anthony Marston was speeding along in a powerful car. He was rich, handsome, and careless. He didn't know much about the Owens, but he expected parties and fun. He liked fast cars, fast drinks, and beautiful women. Finally, Mr. Blore was on the train, using a false name, Mr. Davis. He was making notes about the guests. He was not a guest. He was a detective, hired to keep an eye on everyone. He planned to pretend to be from South Africa, hoping no one would notice the lie. Later, everyone arrived at a small village called Sticklehaven. From there, they took a boat to Soldier Island. Fred Narracott, the local boatman, thought the group was strange, not the rich, fashionable people he expected, but he brought them across anyway. At the house, they were greeted by Mr. Rogers, the butler. His wife, Mrs. Rogers, was already inside. Like the others, they had never met Mr. or Mrs. Owen. They had only received letters with instructions. The house was modern, clean, and had a beautiful view of the sea. Each guest had their own room. And in each one, a copy of a strange nursery rhyme hung above the fireplace. 10 little soldier boys went out to dine. 1 choked his little self, and then there were 9. Vera read it and felt uneasy. Something about it made her feel cold inside. Something was not quite right.